Hello, this is the Daily Encouragement Net podcast on a beautiful Friday morning. It's April 17th, Friday, 2009. Normally, you'll hear me say now, we are Stephen and Brooksine Weber, and we're a married couple that prepare these messages. But this morning, Brooksine had a funeral that she is conducting in a nursing home. We serve as chaplains, and thus I'm winging it myself today. And it's really a man's story today, although I hope our lady listeners will also benefit from the scriptural portion of it. For it's titled, A Fishing Story. And the text is from John 21, verse 3. In fact, that chapter deals with a fishing trip that took place after Christ's resurrection. And that verse merely states the portion that I'm highlighting today. It's Peter speaking, I'm going out to fish. Well, I'm not an avid fisherman, but if the opportunity comes up, I will sure join others, particularly if it's free. Several years ago, I went with a group of friends and on a fishing trip to Chesapeake Bay for striped bass, and it was quite pleasurable because we caught lots of fish. Today, I want to share another type of fishing story that took place on the Sea of Galilee, headed up by Peter, who, of course, had a vocational background as a fisherman. Well, I wonder what that first work week following the resurrection was like for the disciples of Christ. What a tremendous weekend it had been. On resurrection evening, Christ had come right into their meeting. I'm sure the emotional thrills of the events of Resurrection Sunday were still very real in their hearts. What an incredible, wow, day it had been. But John chapter 21 records a fishing story that took place after Christ had appeared to his disciples. I encourage you to read the entire account in John, and actually have a link to it today. It happened sometime between the week after the resurrection and, of course, his ascension when Christ returned to heaven. Peter and six of the disciples were together. It was just an ordinary day. I suppose they were waiting for further instructions from the Lord, and perhaps they wondered, like we often do, what's next? I sense a restlessness in Peter as he says, I'm going out to fish. I can identify with that. Waiting when the directions aren't clear can be very hard for many of us. The other disciples said, we'll go with you. That's nice to have company, isn't it? I wonder what these men were experiencing in their hearts. Were they dealing with the reality of living their lives on an ordinary day after such a wild day? Was there some sort of a letdown feeling? Well, they fished all night, but they didn't catch anything, and that sure must have been very discouraging. I know there are those who claim to enjoy fishing because it's relaxing and peaceful just being out in nature. But for me and many others, the goal is to catch fish, and that's the real thrill of fishing. But Jesus met them the next morning, and everything changed. I'm going to share about that on Monday's message. Well, the church has indeed had several of what I call wow days, such as the day of the resurrection, the day of the ascension, the day of Pentecost. Well, the next universal wow day for the church will be the day when Jesus returns. But since Resurrection Day, some 721,000 days have come and gone with men and women living and dying for this resurrected Christ. The majority of these days have been normal days. Well, we have personal wow days as well. Spiritually includes events like our conversion to Christ and baptism. Perhaps for those like me, ordination to Christian ministry, which took place nearly 30 years ago on May 8, 1979 in York, Pennsylvania. Wow-type days are also our wedding, a graduation, or the birth of a child. And sometimes wow days are painful, like the day I received news that my mom had a serious fall and brain injury while visiting my brother in California. Local churches have wow days as well. It's perhaps the dedication of a new building or the installation of a pastor. I especially consider those times when the Holy Spirit moves through the congregation in a significant and memorable way. But the vast majority of our days are ordinary, in which we make a daily decision to follow and obey Christ, no matter what the present circumstances are, and not based upon how we feel that day. That's the real key to a steadfast, fruitful, victorious, abundant, lasting life of service for our Lord. Every day, let us determine, like Joshua, that we will wholeheartedly serve the Lord. Now join me for a prayer today. Normally, Brookscene, of course, not only alternates with me as we read, but says the prayer. This is indeed her written prayer. Jesus, the events that took place in Bethlehem's manger, at Calvary's cross, and in the empty tomb, where your body laid for 3 days, supersedes any commemorative event in history. We look to the past where we witness your sovereign power at work in the midst of ordinary people on those wild days. And now, as we go about our daily routine of working, caring for our families, and living responsible Christian lives, we are filled with anticipation for the greatest promise yet to be fulfilled, the next wild day. That supreme event will take place when you come down from heaven, and with the trumpet call of God, you first call the faithful ones who have died. Then those of us who are still alive will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet you in the air. What extraordinary encouragement this brings us today on what is otherwise an ordinary day. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us today. Again, I normally have my wife of nearly 33 years now sitting beside me when I share these messages on the podcast, but we wanted to get the message out. I'm not sure when she'll be back from her assignment this morning. It's interesting to note, I pointed out my ordination was on May 8, 1979, and we were married on May 8, 1976. So I have two kind of special memories on May 8th. I'll probably write them about them on that day as well. Well, our website is dailyencouragement.net. This material is placed up each weekday morning, almost without exception.